This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe, Phil Carter. He's Wildlife Campaign Manager with Animal Protection New Mexico, and joining us by phone, Mary Catherine Ray. She's Wildlife Chair of the Rio Grande Chapter of the Sierra Club. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
So we're here because tomorrow there is a very important meeting of the State Game Commission. It's at 8:30 at the Santa Fe Community College Hemes Room. And what is being discussed at this meeting is some proposed changes to the state rules surrounding bears and cougars. What is the rule now, and what are the proposed changes?
Well, the current rule is the 2011 bear and cougar rule. It has not been revised since 2011. We're on a four-year schedule, so what is decided will carry us through 2019 as far as how we manage bear and cougar rule, particularly hunting of these particular animals. When I say cougar, I'm referring to the same animals as mountain lions or pumas. Currently, you can hunt up to 749 cougar in the state. Licensed hunters can take that many across New Mexico. The Game and Fish Department is currently attempting to increase the methods of mortality of these animals, because we are talking about killing of the animals when we say harvest. The State Game and Fish Department is proposing to remove the permit requirement for landowners to use traps or snares on cougars on private land. They're also attempting to implement trapping and snaring of cougars on all 9 million acres of state trust land. And further, they're granting the ability of a licensed cougar hunter to take up to 4 lions in a year, when currently the limit is 2.
Is there an increase in the total number of mountain lions that can be killed?
The heart of the matter is that some people believe, a very small percentage of society believes, that we are not killing enough mountain lions. When I say that 749 animals are allowed to be killed every year by licensed hunters, hunters cannot take over about 300 animals per year. They're very hard to hunt, and it's very arguable that there aren't that many more cougars than there are these 300 that are getting killed every year by hunters. However, the Department of Game and Fish has jumped to a conclusion that we're not killing enough, so we need to increase the ways that one can kill, including using cruel and indiscriminate traps and snares on state trust land and removing a permit to trap them on private land.
Let's talk about traps and snares. They're currently not allowed, is that correct?
The trapping of cougar is only allowed currently by landowners with a permit from the State Game and Fish Department and by USDA's federal wildlife killers, the so-called wildlife services. However, these proposals seek to remove any sort of permitting or oversight for landowners to trap and snare cougar, and also implement trapping and snaring on 9 million acres of state trust land, this land that is held in the public trust. Revenue from this land to leasing out to industry and other interests goes to support schools and universities. And so the State Game and Fish Department has agreed with a recent proposal by the State Land Office. State Land Commissioner Aubrey Dunn wrote to Game and Fish to say, we need to maximize revenue by implementation of cruel traps and snares on state trust lands. We personally find this to be a very egregious and appalling use of almost 10% of our public landscapes out there, and a severe violation of public safety from the people who are using these lands.
Are you saying that 10% of New Mexico is public trust land?
Is state trust land, correct. A little under 10%.
Now, you used the word cruel about traps and snares. Let's talk about that for a moment. What is a trap? What is a snare?
Basically, if you think of the old traps that snap shut onto a foot, that's what's known as a leg hold trap or foot hold trap. A snare is basically a set of wire that is triggered so that it will quickly and severely constrict on an animal or person who's unlucky enough to get caught.
And so when animals are caught in these traps, they die pretty horrible deaths.
Mm-hmm, they do. Both me and my colleague Mary Catherine of Sierra Club, who's on the phone, are members of the Trap Free New Mexico Coalition. You can find us at trapfreenm.org, and we've been working to ban the usage of these devices on public lands because they are inherently cruel and indiscriminate. Anything unlucky enough to get caught will, including domestic animals, cats, dogs, children who are hiking public landscapes. They're really an appalling and archaic exploitation of the wildlife that's held in the public trust just to financially support a tiny few. Less than 2,000 trapping licenses are sold every year in New Mexico. That's about 0.1% of the entire population.
Mary Catherine, we've been talking about cougars. Talk about bears and what are the issues surrounding bears in New Mexico?
Before we move on from trapping, as Phil mentioned, I am in the Sierra Club is in the Trap Free New Mexico Coalition, and it's worth mentioning that cougars are being caught in traps right now in New Mexico, but the trapper is not allowed to kill and keep the carcass of the cougar. So basically what the Department of Game and Fish is doing is just expanding the use of traps so that they could, which, of course, we're not happy about. The situation with bears is a little different from that of cougars. Unlike cougars, the bear quotas are being met. They were drastically raised in 2011, 4 years ago, like by 67%, and hunters have stepped up to the plate, and they are killing the number of bears that the quotas are allowing. But even so, the department is now advocating that we increase them even more because not every hunter who wants to kill a bear gets to, because the quotas are being met and the zones are being shut down for hunting. So we're actually proposing to increase the quotas by another 25% statewide. And extremely concerning to me is that biologists think, typically most states will have, that the number of female bears that are in that quota should be no more than 30%. A lot of biologists think it should be less. Game and Fish is proposing to allow 41% of the kill to be comprised of female bears, which is the future for the bear population. And if this goes forward, no matter what population you start out with, as far as a number goes, and we're not really that sure because it's hard to count bears, we're looking at a decline of the population by the time we get to 4 years from now. It could be more than 50%. It could be 30%. But we don't have a management plan. The Department of Game and Fish has not told us what their eventual goal is. Why are we persecuting bears like this? And it's very concerning.
When we talk about bears, there are years where, for example, there's a drought and there's not enough food for bears in the woods, and bears come down into the city and there's too many bears. And in theory, hunting is a way that can keep bear populations to an optimal number. Has that been the strategy in the past?
There's never, to my knowledge, been a bear management plan. The response of Game and Fish when bears do wind up in people's backyards is to sometimes move them, but a lot of times just kill them. Bears, to my mind, are just like big raccoons. They do tend to get in people's trash, and if people leave out dog food or bird seed, bears are attracted to that. So there's a lot of things that people can do to avoid that conflict, and nature can take care of the rest. I mean, bears have existed in nature for eons before humans were on the scene, and they don't overpopulate. Nature will take care of that. I mean, adult male bears will kill cubs in order to gain access to females. They fight over territory, so we haven't seen a management plan from Game and Fish to know what their eventual goal is, but bears themselves and mountain lions, too, are pretty self-regulating.
Let's talk about cougars again for a moment. To what extent what do we know? Are they endangered? Are they threatened? What are their populations like in New Mexico? What's their habitat like?
Well, I'd like to talk on the scientific accountability of the department and what they're saying as far as populations are. Like Mary Catherine said, there's a distinct lack of transparency on the part of Game and Fish Department as not having real clear management goals on either bear or cougar. And it's particularly concerning this year with the proposed revisions to the bear and cougar rule, because the department earlier this summer at a series of public meetings, their biologists have openly admitted that they don't have the data to support increased mortality of cougars. They don't have any new data whatsoever. There's vague talk at this point of doing a study with New Mexico State University to get better population counts on cougar, but nothing's clear. Yet they're proposing pretty extreme ways and new ways of taking cougars out of the wild. And we are talking about mortality. You don't trap a cougar in order to capture him and take him somewhere else. This is purely for the sake of killing the animal. What the department is using is a few old studies, and when I say old, one of them should not be taken as being outdated. What it is the so-called Hornocker study. It was conducted from 1985 to 1995 at the taxpayer expense of about $1 million here in the state. That was state taxpayer funding for that. And what this is really is habitat modeling of cougars. There's no real way to get an accurate count of distinct cougars and get an overall population count. What you got to do is analyze their habitat. The department, unfortunately, has been basically misinterpreting and kind of dismissing this Hornocker study ever since it was completed and published in 2001, and instead utilizing the extreme limits of the population data to justify overall harvest increases, and now this year to justify the ability to kill more cougars, again jumping to a conclusion based on some political considerations that more lions need to be killed without even bothering to justify it. Still, we have not seen any new population data produced by the department. There's nothing on the website. You know, groups like ours have been stonewalled in our requests for habitat and population densities on the lions, and so we're really seeing a pretty reckless approach on the part of the department biologists in saying let's just kill more just because, you know, it's what a certain percentage of the population wants. In this case, it's a few folks who believe more need to be killed just to protect somebody's bottom line.
Is this like Cecil the Lion kind of stuff? It's like, I want to kill a feline. Is it like, I love to hunt, or what's the rationale?
Well, it's, again, this isn't really about hunting. It's an attempt to equate trapping with big game hunting, which, you know, some sportsmen are very opposed to. Trapping does not carry any fair chase principles whatsoever like big game hunting does. I think it's really more of a particular industries protecting their bottom line through...
What bottom line?
Ranching, agriculture, outfitters, groups like those who...
How are they protecting their bottom line by snaring cougars?
By essentially saying, if you read a front page piece in the Santa Fe New Mexican a couple of weeks ago about the bear and cougar rule revisions, you'll see industry groups saying that we cannot lose a single head of livestock to a native carnivore, and we will go to extreme measures to do so. And that's what the Department of Game and Fish seems to be applying in its own quote-unquote wildlife management currently, again without any sort of habitat or population data to support it. The fur bear biologist admitted in Farmington in May during the Game Commission meeting that they do not have the population data to support increasing of harvest or overall mortality of mountain lions, and that any population assumptions they can make are pure speculation.
We're talking to Phil Carter of Animal Protection New Mexico and Mary Catherine Ray of the Rio Grande chapter of the Sierra Club. So how big of a problem right now are bears or cougars when it comes to cattle?
Well, in that same piece, the Santa Fe New Mexicans piece on the revisions to the bear and cougar rule, New Mexico cattle growers admitted that they don't even keep a yearly counts on how many head of livestock are lost to cougar or bear or any other native carnivore species. So certainly they don't seem to think that it's a issue worth quantifying. If you check USDA's statistics, you'll find that less than about 3-4% of all livestock losses across the country are due from native carnivore species. You lose far more head of livestock from weather conditions, lightning, starvation, illness, various things. I'm sure Mary Catherine can also have some insight on that as far as how much loss there really is to the livestock industry from native carnivore species.
Yeah, it's not huge. Bears especially, I mean, technically they are carnivores, but they eat a lot of insects like grubs and ants, berries, acorns, grass. Occasionally they will kill a fawn or an elk calf, and one of my concerns is this attitude that we're seeing develop among some in the hunting community that they don't want native carnivores not only to not kill livestock, but not even to kill their native prey, because they don't want hunters to have to compete. You know, they want to leave more deer and elk for them to kill, which turns conservation on its head. That is really a horrible direction for hunting management to be taking.
Let's talk for a moment about the roles of bears and cougars in the landscape. I mean, as we've talked about on this program many different times and in many different contexts, carnivores, whether they be in the oceans or in forests or in desert landscapes, whatever, play a very important role in keeping the whole rest of the ecosystem in balance.
Absolutely. You know, beyond what you're talking about as far as predator-prey relationships that carnivores do, they also keep themselves within balance. The worst thing you can do for a native species like mountain lion or bear is overexploit the populations and undermine and wreck their own social structures. Cougars in particular geographically limit themselves by the incidence of adult females, and so if you start taking out recklessly any lion who you find offensive, then you're essentially undermining their own population structure, allowing more inexperienced and reckless juveniles to come in who may be more likely to get into conflict with human habitation. In the case of bears, in essentially upending their social structure, they may be even more likely to come in and get into people's garbage cans or barbecue grills.
It's like if you took out all the parents, what would the teenagers do?
Mm-hmm. And that's another issue.
Humans, bears, cougars, or anybody else.
Absolutely. And this whole notion of social structure is another really distinct issue to this proposal by Game and Fish Department to allow for unregulated trapping of cougar by public landowners. It is illegal to kill in any way a nursing mother or her kittens. And so to allow the use of indiscriminate traps, there is no way to prevent that. Game and Fish Department has not even said how it's going to uphold the law and prevent people from killing nursing mothers and kittens.
Here's a question. We're talking about a rule. What's the difference between a rule and a law? And what laws do we have that govern this, if any?
Well, the Bear and Cougar Rule is really the state protocols for hunting and management of these two game species, black bears and mountain lions. As far as laws go, it's something that my organization, Animal Protection of New Mexico, and Animal Protection Voters are heavily involved in a number of ways, beyond the work that we've done with Sierra Club to ban trapping and poisons on public lands. We've done other work to ban the incidence of what's known as animal killing contests or coyote killing contests that a number of public lands have been faced with in recent years. Incidentally, the letter that State Land Commissioner Aubrey Dunn sent to the Game and Fish Department, in addition to asking for traps for cougars, it also promoted the idea of coyote killing contests on state trust lands as a way of maximizing revenue. So this seems to be an all-out war on cougars, all-out war on carnivores. We have many other legal means that we're always up at the state legislature fighting for just better protections and better scientific management of all of these species.
You mentioned earlier, Phil, that the public is really opposed to these kinds of new rules, opposed to snaring and trapping and a lot of these, which really amount to overtly cruel actions against, you know, higher mammals.
Absolutely. Just this week, Animal Protection in New Mexico has released a new statewide poll of New Mexico voters that found that by a 3-to-1 margin, New Mexico voters are opposed to all of these proposals that Game and Fish Department is issuing for cougar trapping. That includes trapping on state trust land. That includes removal of the permit for trapping of lions on private land. And by a 3-to-1 margin, New Mexico voters are opposed to the practice of trapping and snaring on public lands. And so we really are glad that this reflects what we've been working on through Trap Free New Mexico. And I should also note that this polling indicated that these margins of 3-to-1 opposed to these proposals are universal across party lines and across racial lines.
Very interesting. And yet the Game Commission is made up of appointees of Governor Martinez, and it's stacked very much in favor of the new bear and cougar rules, as far as I can tell. If these rules are adopted, and I want to hear from each of you, what happens next? What is the role of the public? What are your groups doing?
Well, I'll go first. I would say that there is definitely a history of anti-carnivore policies on the part of this Game Commission, in addition to these things about bear and cougar rules that we're currently facing. The department has been staunchly opposed to Mexican wolf reintroduction, and tomorrow they're also going to be discussing the denial of Ted Turner's Ladder Ranch for permitting for mountain lion reintroduction on this huge ranch, something that's also caused a huge amount of consternation among the public, including a big rally in June in front of the state capitol. Next steps, I think we really gotta work harder to address these issues legislatively, because the Game Commission is not, and the governor's office in its appointments of these commissioners, is not reflecting the wishes of the people as far as humane and sensible management of our native species.
Mary Catherine?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at if they go ahead and adopt these rules for bears, in 2011 up until 2013, we've killed on the order of between 700 and 800 bears a year in New Mexico by legal hunting. Last year, the kill dropped by 28% without a concurrent lowering of the number of hunters, and the department has no explanation for why it fell by 28%. And I think what we'll see, if we're right, they are beginning to impact the bear population because they're overestimating how big it actually is. And if we implement these even larger quotas, I think we may see they won't be met. The kill will drop even more. That I hope people will take notice. I mean, the Game Commission is not restricted to only talking about this every 4 years. They raised the bag limit on cougars and created year-round hunting in an off-rulemaking year. So I hope they would. I hope they don't approve these, but if they do, I hope they'll really pay close attention to what the actual quotas that are getting, the numbers of bears that are getting killed actually are. And Phil is right. We have an election in a couple of years, and that can make a big difference in our ability to pass legislation that can better protect animals, that can supersede what the Game Commission does. When they become so out of step with the people, we can pass laws that can bring them back into line. So elections do matter.
Mary Catherine Ray is Wildlife Chair of the Rio Grande Chapter of the Sierra Club. Phil Carter is Wildlife Campaign Manager with Animal Protection New Mexico. I will link to both of their groups on SantaFeRadioCafe.org. Phil and Mary Catherine, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.